This morning as well, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Follow along as I read. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we'll stop there this morning. Let's look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just pray now that you'll be with us as we look at your word, as we look into your scripture, Father. I pray that you would just be with us as we look on these five different focuses of a firm foundation for our church for this upcoming year. I pray that all we do and all we say would be honoring and glorifying to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Before we get into the heart of the message this morning, I wanted to share a little bit with you about what Vision Sunday is and what it means. I know this is something that is probably new to many of you, so we're going to take just a few moments. Honestly, this morning's message, I'll probably split it into two different messages for sake of time. So Vision Sunday is this. In just a few moments, I'm going to share five different focus areas that I believe we need to focus on this year. I've shared it with the deacons. I've spent time in prayer, and it's a vision for this year. Many of them aren't new. It's nothing, quote unquote, new under the sun, but areas we're going to focus in. Understand it's not the only things that we're going to do. Understand it's not necessarily in any kind of order. All right, I'm just sharing my heart with you this morning. But it's all going to center and focus around what you see on the pins. So if you didn't get a pin and you'd like one, please grab one on your way out. But it's all around our focus, which you see behind me, a firm foundation. That is going to be our theme for this year. A firm foundation. This church is a fantastic church. I can't tell you how grateful and thankful I am to God for bringing us here. We are going to focus this year around a very firm foundation in which we can continue to build God's church upon. Why do we do the lapel pins? Why do we do the sign? Why are we doing those things? Understand the intent behind it has nothing to do with being contemporary or fitting into the world. What they are intended for, the purpose behind them, again, when we do things, we want to do them with a purpose, with a reason. The purpose behind them is to remind us and be a constant reminder for us where our focus needs to be. It is also the secondary piece is an opportunity of being a witness or a testimony to those around us. So why do we have a lapel pin? I will tell you the intent behind the pin is to wear more than just on a Sunday morning, okay? The intent is that you wear it out in the community. Now, if I see you out at Walmart or somewhere else and you're not wearing it, I'm not going to chastise you. Just the same as if I don't have one on whatever article of clothing I'm wearing, you don't chastise me, or you can, but whatever. It's fine. But the intent is that people see it, and when they see it, they will ask you questions. I can promise you, if you're wearing this, people will ask you what it is, what it's about, what's the reason behind it. A firm foundation, and to be very honest, you can take that and you can go different ways with it depending on who you're talking to. You can use it as a fantastic witnessing tool to others. They say, a firm foundation, what's that mean? And you say, I build my entire life around the foundation, around the things of Jesus Christ. And you can jump right into the gospel. Right? Because that's the intent, that's the purpose behind it. All right? So before we get into our message this morning, I want to share with you five different areas of focus that we as a church are going to focus on this year. The intent behind it is to strengthen our ministry. The intent behind it is to strengthen our church that we can then grow forward. And again, growth isn't just in numbers. Growth is having that firm foundation, that bedrock in which the church is built upon, our Christian lives are built upon. The first and foremost is children's ministry. I shared this with you several months ago when we first came as an intent, as an area of focus. We've started Sunday schools back up. We've been delayed on starting our evening children's ministry, but we're starting it tonight. Why? Because I believe, just as Brother Littke said it, did you catch what he said when he saw the three kids playing on the stairs? He said, that's the future of the church. Amen? Children are the future of our church. We need to invest in them. We need to invest not just monetarily. We need to invest our time and our effort to help in growing them. While the children in our church, they aren't our primary responsibility, it's their parents' primary responsibility to raise them, but part of that is they bring them to church so that we can support them, we can back them, we can also help in instructing and guiding and directing these young people. And it's not just children in our church, it will also be children in our community. And that's the heart, that's the focus behind it. We need to make sure we have a focus, a firm foundation in our children's ministries. I thank God for our workers. I thank God for our Sunday school teachers, for our kids club workers, and what they're doing and the time they're investing. And I hope you're praying for them. If you don't have a ministry you're actively involved in, I would challenge you, I would encourage you to consider helping in our children's ministries. Secondly, the second area in which we're going to put a focus on is updating our Constitution. Back whenever we had the question and answer night, which I remember so fondly, I do, it was fine, it was good, I enjoyed it. But one question was asked to me is, do I see a need to change the Constitution? And if you remember, I answered in this way, doctrinally, I have no issue with our Constitution. Please understand that. We're not changing anything on a doctrinal or a theological standpoint. Most of what we're going to be looking at, updating, is to give us a firm foundation, to give us a firm ground to stand upon, is more in the legalities of things. Why? Because the age in which we live on demands it, right? We hear all the time of different churches and different Christian companies being persecuted for the cause of Christ, and some of the reason why it's getting as bad as it is because they don't have that foundation laid. They're not prepared. Understand, I am not a lawyer. Okay, that is not something that I have or that I am, but we do, praise God, have folks that we work with who are Christian lawyers, CLA, going to be reaching out to them. I've already started a little bit and just getting some best practices around that. You say, why are we bringing this up today? Because it's important we understand that we have this foundation laid, that we're prepared as we move forward. This is all part of being and having that firm foundation, firmly planted upon the things of Jesus Christ. Understand, there won't be any major changes made without the vote and the approval of the church. That's part of our Constitution as it stands now, and that's something we're going to focus towards and look towards in the future. Now, does that mean we're going to start that tonight? No. Okay? Does that mean we're going to start that at our next business meeting in 2 weeks? No. Okay? This is going to be a course in the course of the year. It'll be a longer-term piece because it takes time to do those things, to do it appropriately, to do it correctly. If you have questions with any of these, feel free to get with me later. Be happy to share my heart and the focus that we have. The third area that we're going to put a very strong focus on, and it's really a part A and a part B, is a greeters or hospitality ministry. We have a greeters ministry. I thank God for them. They're doing a great job. Part of that greeters ministry is being there before services and just giving people bulletins and just welcoming them as they come into the church. Hopefully you enjoy seeing them there. It's also to help guide and direct anyone who's visiting our church to make sure that they get a visitor's card, that they're following up. In many cases, sometimes they'll make sure that I know that we have a visitor. For instance, sometimes we have visitors and they may not come in to the last minute, and so they help me connect, and that's a blessing. But we want to take that ministry to the next level, to the next piece. Part of the need behind that ministry To get it to the next piece is to have a greeter coordinator, I'm going to call it, all right? A coordinator, someone who helps me put the schedule together and kind of helps remind folks of when their next part is and to help us get things where they need to be. Now, the second part to this, we have the greeter. The second piece is a hospitality ministry. This is an extension of the greeters. It goes beyond just greeting out on Sunday morning, but a hospitality ministry and praying about someone who would be willing to be a hospitality coordinator as well. In some ways, this could be someone who helps with a card ministry to those who are ill. Maybe it's to someone to help coordinate meals and so forth. There's different aspects and facets to this, and I won't share every single one of them for sake of time, but it's an important opportunity. Since we've been here, probably about every other week, we've had somebody either in the hospital or surgery or, you know, fill in the blank. And this would be somebody who would help coordinate those things. Part of it is couple-fold. One is, yes, it would help me. But two is, there's people in our church who have a heart and a desire for this type of thing, and it's a good opportunity for them to be able to use it for God's good and for God's glory. Fourthly, because again, this isn't the message, this is just the prelude, but fourth piece, and we talked about this a little bit whenever we went through the annual budget, and that is what we're calling rebranding. Okay? Now, before anyone goes any further, I want to clarify one thing. Again, we are not changing who we are. We're not changing where we stand or what we believe. All right? The entire intent behind this is to have a firm foundation founded upon the Word of God. This will enable us, this will help us, for instance, with our website. This will help us in literature and handouts and things that we do so that we have a clean, clear, professional look. So that as we're reaching people, people who don't know about us, it's easily navigable. If you've ever been on our website, there's some areas where there's some opportunity around that. If you know, and if you're honest, whenever you came to this church or whenever you're checking out a church, what's one of the first things that you do? You look at the website. Right? It used to be different years ago, but now you look at the website. What do they believe? What do they have going on? What's happening? And there's different pieces of that. And there'll be more to come on that. Again, this isn't a next week or even a next month piece, but this is something we're going to focus towards. Why? Because in the time frame we live in our society, people expect to have a clear message, to be able to see things clearly. It's not to contemporalize anything. It's a matter of staying focused, grounded, and driving towards the things of God. And this will help us with that. Lastly, and again, not by last by any means, and that is outreach. That is outreach. I had a pastor friend who used to say this, we need to make sure in our church today we keep the main thing, and the main thing is lost and dying souls. We must never lose focus on why we do what we do. It is easy to get caught up in the times and easy to get caught up in the things that happen and just the busyness of life, but we should never lose focus on why we do what we do. I shared this with you back before I came, that the two purposes, the two focuses in which we'll ground everything we do revolve around one of two principles and practices. The first and foremost is that we do things with the intent, with a purpose of growing the believer, of fellowship of the believer, that we grow together. Secondly, that anything that we do is focused around sharing the gospel and growing the church, seeing people saved. If we're not doing it around those two principles, around those two practices, then we're not going to do it. It is that simple. It must be qualified within those two purposes. We have different pieces of outreach that we will talk about as the year goes on. If you look at the calendar, you will see things riddled with different outreach opportunities. Just as I mentioned during the announcements, when we think of things like the ladies' outreach or the men's breakfast or the Friday coffee, all those are opportunities to invite people to church. All those are opportunities to bring people into God's house to hear God's word. Not so we can sit around and just kind of relax and hang out and sip coffee, but we can share God's word with a lost and dying world. That's the intent. That's the purpose behind everything that we do. So you say, what's the vision for this year? Those are the five areas of focus. Those are the five areas that we are going to drive towards as a church. Those are the five areas that we're going to put time and effort into above all else. Why? Because that is the basis of a firm foundation. That is the basis and the jump-off point of where we're at and where we're going to go in the future. So you might say, Pastor, you know, you're taking a lot of time with this, and I am for a reason. I am for a purpose. I am with intent. Why? Because I want everyone to understand it. I can have a vision. I can have a desire to go somewhere. I can have a desire to point people towards, but if everyone else doesn't have it, if everyone else isn't behind it, it's worthless. My heart, my desire is that everybody has the same vision in mind, the same focus, the same direction to go. You might say, Pastor, you know, I'm involved in ministry, or maybe I'm not involved in ministry, but I want to get involved in one of these. I want you to talk to me afterwards. Talk to me this week. Call me, text me, email me. Most of you know I'm pretty receptive and pretty responsive in timing, if at all possible. But let me share with you, or you share with me, your heart or where you think you may fit in best. Why? Because God's called us all to serve. God's called us all to do something for the cause of Christ. That is the vision for 2022. It's a lot. It's a lot. But I have every peace that this is where God wants us to go. This is what God wants us to do, and I look forward to what he's going to do in this year. All right, with that, go back to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look into God's word this morning, and it's all around this element of having a firm foundation. Understand the elements of the Christian life that no one else sees. There's parts of our lives that no one else sees, and that is our foundation. We can look good on the outside, but inside, we're crumbling. You say, why is our focus this year on a firm foundation? It's for that very purpose. This is something that the mega church movement is failing on miserably, and I'm not here to knock any pastor or preacher or church. That's not the intent behind it. But there is a cause and effect with it. Why? Because they're not taking time. Christians are not taking the time today to build their own personal foundation. They worry about the outside exterior, what people see, and they're missing the foundation upon Jesus Christ in which they need to build their lives. That's the foundation that the church needs to build upon as well. And if we miss that, if we don't understand that, if we're not focused towards it, then we've missed everything. You can look great on the outside for a time, but eventually it'll crumble. Eventually it'll fall. It'll fail. Salvation means this. We need to look at the foundation of relationships. Salvation means this, that we are declared righteous before God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We need to have, our foundation must be a faith in Jesus Christ. If we lose that, if we lose that piece of our life or that direction of our life, then we're going to lose everything else. You think of it this way, like a judge in a courtroom, right? When he takes his gavel and he wraps it and he says, not guilty. One day, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to stand before the judgment throne. And it's almost going to be like that picture where God's going to declare us not guilty because of the shed blood of the Lamb, because of our acceptance, our asking Christ into our heart to save us. However, again, it's impossible to have the outward appearance of growing in Christ and then still have a crumbling foundation. There's a symbol of that that I think of, and it's in historical architecture. It's still there today, and maybe some of you have seen it. But you think of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? You can see pictures of it, and you can go over and view it. And they say one of the biggest issues behind the Leaning Tower of Pisa is the fact that its foundation is only 10 feet deep. At one point in its construction, when it started to shift and it started to lean, they actually tried to correct it by, it was shifting this way, and they actually tried to correct it by trying to build straight up from that point. So in some ways, it's almost slightly crooked. It's 186 feet tall, 13 and a half stories tall, but its foundation is weak. It didn't have the foundation that it needed, and it didn't have what it needed at the very beginning of its conception in order to stand straight and true. And you see, folks, Christian lives are the same. If we don't have that firm foundation founded firmly upon the things of Jesus Christ, founded firmly upon the things of the Bible, then we are going to falter. It will turn into our demise. Again, I've shared this many times, my heart with you is that there always be a purpose behind what we do. Why we do what we do, there's a purpose. The fact we put scripture reading out there for you, there's a purpose behind it. The fact that we have weekly scripture memorization, there's a purpose behind it. The fact that we have fellowships and outreaches and activities together, there's a purpose behind it. Why? It's the foundation in which we must build the rest of our life. If we're not taking God's word and we're not reading it, if we're not taking God's word and we're not memorizing it and hiding it in our hearts and our lives, then we are going to crumble at the foundation. There's a purpose in why we're doing what we're doing. We must stay focused upon the things of God. We must stay focused upon having that firm foundation that no one else may see on the outward look, but we know it on the inside. Philippians 3:10 says this. Read with me in verse 10. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. We talked about this a couple of different times, so I won't take a great deal of time on it this morning, but we think of this principle. Do you know about God, or do you know God? Right? You can think of different sports stars, and people can lift off different statistics, whether it be baseball, basketball, football. I would say in this crowd, if I ask questions about the Green Bay Packers, I get a lot of information back. Right? And that's fine. But the challenge is this, you know the information, but you don't know the players personally. That's how we are with God oftentimes. We know things about God. We know we can recite his word. We can say scriptures. We can say all those things, but we don't have the relationship with God that we need to have. In order to know him, we must first know his person. We must know the person of God. You see there, it says that I may know him, knowing him personally. The only way to know him personally is to spend time with him. We need to be sensitive and obedient to his voice. We need to set time aside to know God personally. This isn't something that I can make you do. This isn't something that your spouse can make you do. We can challenge each other. We can encourage each other. But we need to set time aside to be with God. We need to set time aside to be in his presence and to get to know him personally. If we do, then we'll be sensitive to his leading. We'll know when he convicts us. We'll know when he's burdening our hearts towards something. We'll know when he's the prompting of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with somebody. We'll know those things if we take the time to personally know God. Think about it this way. That should be the number one relationship in our life. If you were to ask Liz and I different questions about each other, right? Sometimes they play those games like at anniversary parties and those things. We've been married for 22 years. Okay, you'd think by now I know a little bit about my wife, right? Now, don't go and quiz her later. She's not prepared for this, okay? I'll just preempt it with that. But you would expect us that we know each other's likes and dislikes, maybe favorite colors or favorite foods or things that we don't like. You expect that in a relationship, people know each other. They know about each other. If we are to know about each other as a relationship in a healthy marriage, how then more should we know more about God? How then more should we know about the things of God, about what he's doing in our life, about what he's doing in our heart, about what he's doing in us each and every day? Or do we just take it for granted? We must first know his presence. We must secondly know his power. Look at the second part of verse 10. It says, and the power of his resurrection. This word power here is the Greek word dunamos. Anyone have any idea what English word we get from that word? Dynamite. Dynamite. You think of dynamite, you think of something powerful. You think of explosion, you think of the power that comes behind it. When it says that we know the power of his life, of his word, of his love, that is powerful. There is power in the name of Jesus. It is a life-changing power. It is a power that we can only find through the scriptures. It's a power that we can only find through the love and the will of God in our lives. I have seen people who have been desolate, who have been drunkards, who have been cast out and lost, and God's power in their life has changed them. It's only the power of God that we can have that kind of eternal change. It's not just for the outward appearance. It's more importantly, the inward appearance. Somebody who once hated and loathed and despised the world, where the power of God came upon them and they were saved, and God's power, his life-changing eternal power, comes in and changes them. That can only be done through the power of God. It's the Spirit of God living within us. 2 Peter 1:3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and good godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to be glory and virtue, according to his divine power. It's not something we can do on our own. Dear people, understand something. I've laid out the vision for this year. I've laid out some focus, some areas to focus on. But if we lose the focus upon the power and we think we can do it upon our own abilities, we are going to fail miserably. If we think that we have the ability to do it on our own, it's not going to end well. We must rely, we must focus, we must stayed upon the power of God. See, below the baseline of each of our lives, there must be God's power at work. Paul understood that. Paul had that in his life. We must know his person. We must know his power. Thirdly, we must know his presence. Look at the end of verse 10. It says, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. When it says the word fellowship there, we think of communion, to partake with Christ, to commune with him. Sometimes the deepest moments of fellowship come at the times of our most intense times of suffering. Sometimes the deepest, most times when we're closest to Christ come at the times when we are having our most horrible times of suffering. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's someone sick. Maybe it's a child who is ill. And it's during those times, oftentimes, when we get a sense of closeness to God, when we have the presence of God more powerful in our life than any other time. Why? Because our need is there. Why? Because it's something that we are struggling with. John Huss lived in the early 1400s. He was a Catholic priest. He began to see the error of the Catholic Church, and he began to preach salvation by grace and grace alone. He began to preach Jesus the only way to salvation. As you can imagine, in the Catholic Church, this was not only looked down upon, this was something that was just dreaded and put away. Eventually, he began to get persecuted. Eventually, he was sentenced to death. His death sentence was this: to be burned alive at the stake. In his dying words, he said this: what I taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood. Lord, I commend my spirit to you. In this point in life, it takes someone who is truly close and truly knows God in their life, someone who knows the person of God, the power of God, and the presence of God. Sometimes it's those times that's the most difficult in our life when we can be the closest to our Heavenly Father. Next, we see the formation of faith. Look at verses 11 and 12. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You think about a newborn baby, right? If you've got kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews, and oftentimes one of the first things we want to know is, you know, the gender, the name, the height, the weight. We want to know all those details about the baby, right? And every time they go to the doctor, they do what they call a checkup, and they check on those different facets of the baby, the height and the length and the length and circumference and all those different pieces. And it's a fun thing to do. But from the time the baby's born, and you fast forward 6 months, if the baby hadn't gained weight, if the baby hadn't grown, if the baby hadn't changed in any way, there'd be a problem, wouldn't there? There'd be a great level of concern. And I understand it wouldn't take 6 months for the doctors before they'd be concerned about that, or the parents to be concerned about that. And they would do testing and all those different pieces to figure out what's going on and why this baby isn't thriving, why this baby isn't growing. Dear people, my challenge is this, my question is this. When we have a newborn baby in Jesus Christ and there's no growth, there's a problem. When we see somebody who's been saved for years, for decades, and there's no spiritual growth, there's a problem. So why then aren't we looking at that problem? Why then aren't we after that and focused and trying to help that person grow in faith, grow in Christ? We all have our time in life where we need to understand and be part of the milk of the word, but eventually we need to grow into that meat of the word as well. We need to grow. But if we don't have the foundation first, we're not going to grow where and how God wants us to. Just as a baby grows, our faith should grow. My challenge to you this morning, my ask of you this morning is this: how is your spiritual growth? How is your walk with the Lord? Are you growing? Just as a baby turns into a toddler, who turns into a kiddo, who turns into a teen, and to an adult, and so on and so forth, are you growing in the things of Christ? Is your spiritual walk with God matching how old you are spiritually in the things of God? Are you growing? We don't want someone to grow so fast where they lose focus. We want them to first and foremost have that firm foundation, have the rock in which the rest of their life is planted and moves on from. But dear people, there must be growth. There must be growth. There must be some change in seeing God's presence and God's power in your life. And if there's not, that's my challenge this morning. That's my challenge to you this morning, is if you're not having personal growth, before you leave this place today, get it right between you and God. It's not getting it right between you and I. It's getting it right between you and God. Why? Because that's the foundation stone. That's where it must start. If your foundation is weak, if your foundation is crumbling, if you've put all of your time and effort in the exterior piece, the showboat part, to look good, your foundation is crumbling. Shore it up today. Before you leave the place, take time in God, take time at the altar, take time with God to shore up that foundation. You want to firm.